Kia ora, tēnā koutou katoa, and welcome to this Plunkett live chat tonight with Whanau Whena Plunkett. And tonight we're going to be talking about an issue that's been front of mind for a lot of whanau out there and people caring for infants and tamariki. We're going to be talking about managing COVID-19 in our little ones. And to talk with us about that today, we are very lucky to have the expertise of Professor Stuart Dalziel from Starship Hospital. Stuart is a paediatrician specialising in emergency medicine, so working in the ED department there. I'm Max, I'm a Plunkett nurse. I work out in the community in Porirōmana, and I also work at Plunkett Line. So I'm really excited about this chat tonight. It's definitely a big topic for a lot of the whānau I'm seeing and talking to in my role, and I'm sure it's the same for you, Stuart. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Stuart. Nau mai, haere mai.
Kia ora. Thanks, Max. As Max said, my name's Stuart Dalziel. I work part-time in the emergency department of Starship Hospital. So I'm one of the team of doctors and nurses who you'll see at sort of 8 o'clock on a Monday morning, and then also at 10 o'clock on a Friday night as well. And I also work part-time at the University of Auckland, where I'm the Cure Kids Chair of Child Health Research. And so I do a lot of research both here in New Zealand and internationally in around paracetamol and ibuprofen, around respiratory conditions in young infants, and even studies on COVID-19 as well. So I've probably got a little bit of the lived experience of being in the emergency department at Starship over the last 6 or 7 weeks. We've certainly seen a really big increase in the whānau and the tamariki who've presented to us, really with a range of problems. And that's both the little babies who come in, and for the little babies, they often tend to have fever as a predominant feature of COVID. They can also get cough, like everyone can, throughout the lifespan, really, right through to grandparents. But they can also get an illness which is quite similar to croup as well. And so a real barking cough and a noise when they breathe in, a type noise when they breathe in. And so that's a concerning noise. So if you're hearing that at home, that's a child that you really want to get through either very quickly to your GP, to your after-hours medical centre if that's close, or coming through to us in the emergency department as well. And as children get a little bit older, COVID probably is a little bit more different, in that we see both the respiratory symptoms, so the cough, runny nose and fever, but we also see a little bit of diarrhoea, vomiting and tummy pain as well. So don't think that just because your child doesn't have a cough or doesn't have a runny nose or doesn't have a fever that they don't have COVID, because those other symptoms are relatively common in what we're seeing in children.
It seems to be a really broad spectrum of different symptoms that are hitting whānau and different whānau members as well. So you might have baby has the fever and the vomiting and the diarrhea, but your teenager or your older child might have the cough or the respiratory issues. And then the parents, again, may have another sort of presentation of the symptoms. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. They've all got the same virus, but we all respond to it differently as well. So, even if you've got twins, the twins, even though they're the same age, they might respond to it differently, where, one might be quite unwell and one may just have a relatively mild illness from that point of view as well. So for most tamariki, COVID is a relatively mild disease. So they're usually unwell for 1 or 2 days and then make a recovery after that. So, although we've seen increased cases coming into the hospital, there's a whole lot of more cases out there. We're only seeing the tip of the iceberg, and there's this massive base underneath of all the other children who are out there who've been unwell, but are unwell for just a couple of days and then bounce back pretty quickly after that. Their parents often find it worse in that they find that they're unwell for 2, 3 weeks and feel quite tired, even after most of their symptoms have gone away. We don't see that so much in kids.
Especially once those kids get their energy back and you're still a little bit not 100%. Yeah,
I
so
think it's really hard.
it is. And so when we think about the milder presentation of COVID-19 for our whānau watching tonight in our children and our infants out in the community, we're thinking more, what sort of symptoms are we mainly looking at there for a mild presentation? What would that often look like?
So that may be that you've got a bit of a fever, that you've got a sore throat or a cough, a runny nose. The children who can verbalize a little bit more may say that they have a headache as well. And as I said, a bit of tummy pain, diarrhea, and vomiting. And so it's hard to pick which of those symptoms your child's going to end up with. But I think the key thing is that they're not too unwell with those symptoms. So, if they've got diarrhea and vomiting, we're not worried so much if they're not eating and not having meals. What we want to do is make sure that they're drinking enough. So we know that, as adults, when we feel a little bit nauseous, like we're going to throw up, that we really don't want to have a big drink, because that just kind of fills our stomach and makes us feel worse. That's the same with young infants. So the trick is giving them small, frequent sips of fluid. So for the little babies, less than one, we can give them breast milk or their bottles. We can give them Pedialyte, which you can get from doctors or you can get over the counter from pharmacies. And so that's a rehydration solution. When they're a little bit older in that first year, so after 6 months, and if they're already taking water, if they don't want the milk, you can try them with water as well. But the thing is just giving them small, frequent sips. When the dehydrated babies come into the emergency department, what we do is we get the parents to have a cup of Pedialyte, which is the rehydration solution. We get them to have a syringe and we get them to feed the baby 5 mils every minute. And over an hour, they get in about 300 mils. And over 2 or 3 hours, you get in most of the fluid that that baby needs for the day. And the way to check that a baby's getting enough fluid is that I'm making enough wet nappies. So as long as I'm making more than half their wet nappies, then you're winning with the fluids overall. And for the older children, it doesn't matter what fluid it is. I mean, we're not going to give them fizzy drink, but if they want water, if they want milk, if they want juice, if they want ice block, any kind of fluid that you can get into them, soup, just get that fluid into them.
That's really, really good tips around that about keeping the fluids up and the small but frequent amounts of water or breast milk or formula or whatever it may be. And it is just to give it to them so that you're not expanding their tummy, like you said, you're not causing that nauseous feeling to come on and then they just regurgitate it all up or vomit it all up, and then you're back to square one. So yeah, that's really good. 5 mils every 5 to 10 minutes can be doable at home.
But
You
no,
just
five mils every minute. Five
Oh,
mils
every
every
minute.
minute. So yeah, it is. So
Wow.
5 mils every minute. So 5 mils by 60, that's 300 mils. So it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't kind of matter if you get in 200 mils in an hour or 300 mils. But you just need to give it to them. You just need to give it to them regularly.
Slowly. Yeah. That's really cool. Another, we've had a question in from someone watching us tonight, and really good question. What are good tips for breastfeeding a baby with a congested nose? Because that's another big symptom of it too, isn't it?
It is. And look, baby's sole job is to feed and grow, really. So they get that they get bigger. And so their biggest amount of exercise actually is feeding. And babies breathe via their nose. So obviously when their nose gets congested, that really becomes problematic from that point of view. What we tend to do, obviously wiping the nose is really good in order to, you know, help clear things out. We tend to use a syringe and put just a couple of drops of normal saline down their nose. And what that does is it just opens up those passages and allows them to feed. The same thing that you do for vomiting and kind of small frequent feeds, you can do that when they've got a congested nose as well. Is, you know, if you're breastfeeding them, put them on for a few minutes. If they're struggling, take them off, give them a chance to kind of calm down because they're working a little bit harder, and then put them back on again.
And that is a good time to do it too, isn't it? So to try and clear those nasal passages out around the time of a feed so that you know that they're going to work quite hard breathing in and out through their nose to help shift it once it's been softened, hey?
Exactly, yep. And it works really well.
And if you don't have normal saline at home, can you just use some cold boiled water, some sterile sort of water?
No, exactly. So if you've got a baby who's a little bit older, who's just having normal bottles of water out of the tap, then you can obviously use tap water. If you've got a newborn baby who's only going to be four weeks old, you know, the same reasons that we boil up the water to make up the milk bottles for those babies who are on milk, you want to use boiled water. Obviously, you don't want to use hot water. You want to use cooled water. But once it's at room temperature, just use that. Yeah. And that will have the same effect, you know, rather than the saline.
That's right. So for our under 4 months, when you're still having to sterilize the bottles and the water to make formula, for instance, you're wanting to use that same method in terms of preparing water if you need to do a nasal flush. So that's really helpful advice. Yeah. So look, when we think about Omicron in children, who do you feel is most at risk?
So we kind of see a U-shaped distribution with most conditions in kids. In other words, that the little babies get hit quite hard, and then often it can be the older children as well, or the older adults. And we see this a little bit with Omicron as well, in terms of the really severely unwell children. So the ones that I worry about are the ones that, the few that actually end up going to the intensive care unit. And those children that end up going there, the risk factors for that are actually the older children. So children are older than 5. And so I know it's really scary when you've got a young baby and they've got COVID, but generally those children do better in terms of the really, really severe cases than the older children. And we still only have relatively small numbers in either age group. Those who have got underlying chronic disease is a risk factor as well. And that's really either respiratory disease or neurological disease, something which is meaning that you're seeing a pediatrician at the hospital. It's really kind of a sign that your baby's got those chronic conditions. If you're not seeing a pediatrician at the hospital, which, you know, 95% of children in New Zealand are not, then you can kind of be reassured from that point of view as well. We do worry about children who have had previous pneumonia. We know that can be a risk factor as well. So again, those children just need to be watched closely.
Okay, cool. So if we're thinking about the children who are, maybe not the ones that are most, or maybe the ones that are kind of most at risk, but also just our little ones out in the community who maybe have had pneumonia in the past or other chronic issues, what sort of presentation do we as parents need to be looking for that, hey, it might be time to go and see a doctor?
Look, I think probably the first thing is trust yourselves as parents. I mean, you know your children better than anyone else. And if you're really worried about your child, then seek help. And, you know, although we kind of feel that the country's a little bit shut down at the moment, all of the healthcare system is open and ready for you guys to come in as well. So the things that you should look out for, obviously, if your child's deteriorating and getting worse and worse, if they're breathing a lot faster than what they usually are breathing, so a little bit of cough, you know, that's going to happen with COVID, and that's going to happen for a few days, sometimes a few weeks. That's absolutely fine. What we worry about is children that are breathing fast, and that's a sign that they might need more respiratory support. So children who are drowsy and sleeping an awful lot would be worried about as well. Children who are irritable, so children where, you know, particularly little babies, if you can settle them down by holding them, then, you know, that's really good. If you can settle them down by giving them either ibuprofen, brufen, or paracetamol, Pamol, then that's fine as well. But those children who don't settle with holding or who don't settle with those two medications, that would be a sign that you need to either speak to someone or see someone as well. And we were talking a little bit earlier, Max, about the fluid. So we worry about children who are taking in less than half their normal amount of fluid. And that can sometimes be really difficult if you're breastfeeding to kind of make that guess about that. But as I said, the kind of the outcome of drinking well is peeing well. So, you know, kids who are having half the number of wet nappies as well. And if kids are in pain, would be worried about children where the pain's not settling down. And by that I mean, you know, if you give them paracetamol and ibuprofen, that should make them a little bit more comfortable from that point of view. And really there's a hierarchy of places that you can get hold of for advice. The government have a COVID health number, which you can ring, but you can ring the normal helpline number, which is 0800 611 116. You can obviously go along to your GP after hours. The emergency departments are open in the country. And if you're really worried about your tamariki, ring in an ambulance as well.
I really like the point you made around the fact that as parents, you are the you know when something's up with your kid. You know, you are the expert in your own child and you know what is their normal. And it's the same when you're talking about breastfeeding. Although we can't necessarily see how many mils they're getting, it's about looking at what's coming out, the output, and is that gauging up as normal for them or not, you know? And same with the breastfeeding itself. You know, often if you're a breastfeeding mum, you know what's normal for your baby at that point in their time. And if you notice, hey, look, it's much, much less than usual, then that's definite reason to get in. I think, and like you said, there is that hierarchy, you know, your GP is there, they're open and they're available when you need them. Same with the hospitals, you know, they're available when you need them. And same with the ambulance. Calling Healthline for your older children and Plunket Line for your under five. So that's 0800 933 922. And they'll do the same thing, do the triage and give you support around managing their health and their symptoms. And if you've just joined us tonight, just a quick reminder, you are watching the Facebook live chat around managing COVID-19 in little ones, in your tamariki and your infants. And we have got Professor Stuart Dalziel from Starship's Emergency Department here talking us through it. If you haven't caught the start of this, when it's over, you will be able to find it posted on Facebook and YouTube, so you can start it from scratch then. But look, we've touched on some really awesome stuff here. I guess another thing we can definitely go through is managing those symptoms at home with the use of Pamol and ibuprofen. So how would you kind of advise is safest to be using that with the different age groups we're talking about?
So both these medications are safe in COVID. So I think that's the first thing to get across. The other thing to get across is that they're both safe from babies in their first few weeks of life all the way through to older adolescents. And what we suggest that people use those medications for is not to treat the fever. So we try to not give the medication for the fever, but to give them medication for pain and distress. So if your child's got a fever and feeling really uncomfortable with the fever, then that's when we would give those medications. If they've got a fever and they're running around the house and playing with all the other kids, let them run around the house and play with all the other kids and don't give them the medication. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to treat the pain and discomfort. And what you should do is give one of the medications first, wait an hour or so to see if it's working. And if that pain and discomfort's not working, then you could try the other medication after that as well. Now, the medications, the dose is actually based on weight. And there are some resources online that you can go to look that up, but that's somewhat quite difficult to work out to get that right. So usually if they're prescribed by a doctor, the dose for your baby based on their weight will be written on the bottle, and so give that. If you've got it from a pharmacy, or if you've got it from the supermarket, then they've got doses based on your child's age written on the boxes as well. So the paracetamol medication, you can give that 4 times a day, and you can give that 4 hours apart between doses. So it's only if they need it. So if you give one dose and then they're fine for the rest of the day, there's no more reason to give that. The ibuprofen or brufen, you can give that every 6 hours, but only 3 doses in a 24-hour period. And there's no reason to wake children in the middle of the night to give these medications. If they're asleep, let them sleep.
Yeah, and that's a big thing, isn't it? Because knowing that they do need the rest, their body needs to rest to be able to fight this off. And allow its own processes to manage that virus. And I guess the thing is, as well, as fever is a normal process of our immune system, isn't it? And in itself is generally not harmful to baby, but like
No,
you said, it's about monitoring it.
you're exactly right. So fever is part of the body's immune system. What happens when your body gets a fever? It means that the virus can't actually replicate as fast as what it can at normal body temperature. It means that your body starts making more white cells to actually fight the virus as well and sort of mount that immune response. So it's part of the natural process that our body does to actually overcome the virus. So fever in and of itself doesn't cause any long-term damage. So it doesn't cause any brain damage. It doesn't cause anything like blindness or anything like that. And there's quite a bit of kind of common myths that fever in and of itself is bad, but it isn't. It's part of the body's natural defense. So that's why I said that when we give those medications, we don't give it necessarily to reduce the fever. What we do is we give it to reduce the discomfort and the pain associated with the fever.
And because we're going to give it to the kid who's lethargic and miserable and not happy and has a fever, but we're not going to give it to the kid who has a fever and is running around happily playing and drinking and doing all those things.
That's exactly right. And we can do other things to help them feel more comfortable with the fever as well. So,
That's right.
you know, we want
Tell
them
us
to be
about
on light.
that.
So light clothes, taking, down number, particularly as we're moving into autumn into winter and down the country it's getting colder, then, taking them down so they adjust in their stretch and grow, using a cold flannel, which will help them feel a little bit more comfortable as well from that point of view.
Great, yeah. And so when we think about emergency department and the situations that you're seeing with Omicron and COVID-19 with little ones, at what point should a parent really, whether it's fever, cough, cold, be presenting to ED with their little one?
Look, I think I'd go back to my earlier point that, really trust yourself. If you're a little bit worried about your child, then actually ringing Healthline and getting some advice over the line, ringing the Plunket line for the under fives is a really sensible thing to do. Or going along to your GP and see, if you're worried in the morning, going along and seeing them in the afternoon. if you've got increased worry, then you've got to say, well, why am I worried? As I said, we're not particularly worried about the temperature and how high it is, but we're worried about babies who are breathing really fast. And it's fine for babies to breathe fast for a few minutes and then settle down. It's what their breathing pattern looks like over a period of time. And if it looks like it's really rapid and they're struggling for their breathing, that they're sucking in here with their windpipe, if they're sucking in underneath their ribs, that's a sign that you need to go and see someone straight away. So either, you know, go to your after-hours centre or bring the baby into the emergency department as well. Those children that are really irritable, those children which are very, very drowsy and you've got difficult waking them, they're the children that need to come and see us. And as I said, the children that are not getting enough fluid in. So, you know, that things have really wound back and they're only getting in less than half normal and they're making less than half their normal wet nappies.
Wonderful. That's awesome. So, I mean, I guess another thing is, you know, what can we be doing as parents out in the community to be protecting our little ones from getting COVID at this time?
Look, the most important thing, I think, is immunisation, and that's making sure that everyone who's eligible for immunisation has it within the household, because that will stop it getting into the household. And if it gets into the household, that will mean that the older members of the household can look after the babies because they're not going to be so sick. And that actually is incredibly important when we're seeing a lot of cases out in the community. So remember, for everyone who's 18 years and older, that means 3 doses of the vaccine. For everyone who's 5 to 17, that's 2 doses of the vaccine as well. And, you know, I can't reiterate that enough. The most important thing is that we immunise our whānau today. The other things we can do is, you know, just basic hygiene. So washing our hands, and you would have heard it at the start of the pandemic that you're meant to do it for 20 seconds and that's meant to be singing, you know, happy birthday twice. And that's about 20 seconds. And soap and water is absolutely fine for that. It doesn't have to be any special product to be used. You know, wearing a mask when you're in indoor environments, and obviously social distancing. If you're unwell, even a little bit unwell, staying at home, getting a test. And if you find that you've got COVID into your household, then there's the idea that, oh, well, once it's there, everyone in the household is going to get it. And I think we all thought that to begin with, because we know that Omicron's quite infectious. But if we look at research overseas, and there's really good research overseas, if you look at the Scandinavian countries, so Norway and Denmark, their household transmission was 25%. So that means if one member of you know, the household brought home COVID, then the chances of other members of the household getting it was only 1 in 4. In the States, that figure was a bit like 1 in 2, so 50%. But still, it's not inevitable that everyone is going to get COVID. And we also know that if you isolate the person with COVID from other members of the household, that those people who are COVID-free, their chance of getting COVID is reduced by nearly 50% if you're isolating within your house. So if you can do it within your home, that is really important to do. And obviously, you need to look after the person who's got COVID. If it's a little baby, what you're going to need to do is obviously do the same cares that you usually do for them. But what you can do is you can wash your hands before you go to see baby. You can wash your hands after you see baby as well. If, you know, the chances of little babies picking it up from a mum that's positive, we've got quite good data from the neonatal units, and it's probably about 10%, so about a 1 in 10, about a 1 in 10 chance. So the things that you can do to reduce that is the hand hygiene that I was talking about, but also wearing a mask when you're breastfeeding or whether you're feeding as well. If you're really, really worried about not wanting to breastfeed your baby, breast milk has a lot of antibodies in it, so it's incredibly important to get those through. And if you've been immunized in your pregnancy, you're going to have those antibodies to go through. There's really, really little chance of the virus going through the breast milk. What the baby does is the baby picks up the virus on the clothes and everything else, but not actually from inside the breast milk. So you can express the breast milk and give that to baby if you don't want to breastfeed your baby.
And because that's another layer of protection for our breastfeeding babies and toddlers is that breast milk. You know, they can't be vaccinated, but if they're getting access to breast milk, that is giving them a form of antibodies to prime their wee immune system and help them deal with it, isn't it?
It is. And yeah. So, you know, for the vast majority of things, we really recommend that everyone continues to breastfeed. And COVID is no different with that. There will be the odd case where, you know, the mum might be in hospital and might be really sick. A lot of our hospitals allowing mums to room in with their little babies if they're breastfeeding. But if the mum's really sick, you know, your key thing as a mum is to look after yourself as well. And so if baby has to have bottles for a few days, and that means that you get better and you're able to then look after them for the rest of their lives, that's a good thing.
Yeah, big picture, eh? Yeah, I mean, it's about the well-being of everybody involved as well. You know, baby definitely takes priority, but it is about the well-being of the whānau as a whole, eh? I guess another thing around that is, you know, like you said, like looking after yourself as well as parents, maybe isolating, you're feeling unwell, you've potentially got it worse than your kids have, and they've got over their first day of fevers and now they're bouncing off the walls and stuck inside. And, you know, you're still under the symptoms of COVID-19. So I guess, you know, now's a really good opportunity just to, you know, point out that in times like that, you know, priorities are priorities, and anything other than that, you just got to let it go and look after yourself, you know, stay stay sane, you know. So just, you know, making sure the kids are safe and fed and you know, the basics are met, but really, if they, you know, if mum needs to lie on the couch for a while and you're just reading books all day, then that's fine. If the vacuuming and whatever, the dishes haven't necessarily been done, then that's fine, you know. Yeah, I mean, because that's the reality that parents are having to deal with during this as well. Yeah, cool. So look, this has been an amazing chat. We've had some really good questions through. We've got one more here that I reckon we'll just try and answer before we end for the night. So a question from someone watching. Hi there, I have an 11-day-old baby and have tested positive for COVID on Monday. Is there anything I can do to protect my baby from getting COVID? And that's really good. We just touched on some of those things, eh? So maybe we'll just go through a bit of a recap, if you don't mind, Stuart.
Yeah, look, that's fine. Look, I'm really sorry you've got COVID and a little baby. You know, that's really hard, and it's really stressful as well. So, the things that you can do is, if you're breastfeeding, as I said, the risk of getting COVID, if you've got it and you've got an 11-day-old baby, is about 10%. The vast majority of those babies actually don't get too sick with their COVID as well. There are a number who do, and end up in hospital. But generally, they don't get too unwell because of that. In order to avoid transmitting the virus to your baby, obviously, we talked about isolation before and how important that is. And if there's, you know, another family member in your whānau who can look after that baby outside of feeding and things like that, then let them look after the baby so that you can look after yourself. If you're still breastfeeding the baby, and as I said, breastfeeding is really good because you've got natural antibodies that go from your breast milk to the baby. The virus itself doesn't go from your breast milk to the baby. What comes across is the protection. So continuing to breastfeed is a good thing, but obviously that increases the risk because you're going to be close to the baby. So the key thing to do is to wash your hands beforehand, and that's for 20 seconds, soap and water, singing happy birthday twice, washing your hands afterwards as well, wearing a mask and wearing one of the blue surgical masks. I wouldn't wear a cloth mask, I'd wear a blue surgical mask, because we know that, you know, there are degrees of masks in terms of which ones are good, and this is one where you want to get the good mask from this point of view. So wearing a surgical mask, and I would do that anytime you're within 2 meters of the baby. So if you're outside of that kind of that magic 2 meter thing, then you would need to wear your mask in order to protect the baby. But if you were within 2 meters of the baby, I'd wear the mask then.
I guess we'll just make one sort of request for you to touch on something just briefly. I know I've had a lot of families asking, you know, what are the impacts on the child's experience socially with mask use and on their development? And I understand where, you know, parents are coming from, you know, with the increased, you know, masks that kids are coming into contact with. But in the long term, we're not looking at any detrimental effects because it is used short term, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be a short term thing. So, you know, we know from overseas stuff that babies are still smiling at the, you know, at the same time that they usually do, you know, before that 6 week mark. And so, you know, and the children are really, really resilient. And so, you know, we think it's abnormal because we've had, you know, many, many years where we haven't been wearing a mask. They don't know anything different from that point of view. So from the little babies in terms of bonding with your baby and things like that, and for the toddlers, there's really no concern about mask use. For them, it just becomes a normal part of their routine. You know, if you kind of look overseas at, you know, some 2.5-year-olds and things like that, they're quite used to wearing a mask. You know, overseas, from a number of other countries, they know that 4- and 5-year-olds can be quite comfortable in school putting their mask on and wearing it while they're in the school. So kids are incredibly resilient. What we want is we want our kids to enjoy their normal activities. And so that means, you know, going to school if they're well and if their classmates are well, because that's really important for their education. Playing with other children like they usually do as well. And I think the other thing to reiterate from a health point of view is that we undertake our usual health activities. So, you know, just because we've got COVID out here doesn't mean that all the other things that we immunize for are any less important. In fact, they potentially become more important because we potentially may see fewer children immunized because parents are reluctant to take them along because they think their child might pick up COVID either where they're getting their vaccines from. And it's really, really important that we deliver our usual childhood immunizations. So at 6 weeks, at 3 months, at 5 months and onwards at the usual time. So if your children are due their vaccine, the GPs all have a really, really good process now where they put the respiratory patients to one side and they put the clean patients who don't have COVID to the other side, and you can take your tamariki in and they can get their vaccines. And that's a really important thing to do.
They're still a priority, aren't they? Those
general, they are indeed. Yep.
Scheduled childhood immunizations. Look, this has been fantastic, Stuart. It's been wonderful picking your brain on this topic and getting all your wealth of knowledge and these messages out to our whānau in the community and our caregivers who are, you know, dealing with this on a day-to-day basis at the moment. And what a crazy time it's been. So are there any other sort of last words you wanted to kind of put out there?
No, I think, as I said, look after yourselves. And if you're worried, seek medical help.
Awesome, cool. So just a summary of the points we've been over tonight. So for most children, COVID-19 is a relatively mild disease. You know, just seeking support when you are worried and you know your child is not their normal self, and if you're concerned, then get along and trust their instinct and get them assessed. Breathing concerns, level of alertness, very drowsy, hard to wake up, things like that, get them in immediately. If they're dehydrated, much less input in terms of fluid and much less output in terms of urine, then again, we're getting them assessed by a doctor. And worry about the children that are breathing faster. Yeah, that's a really, really important point. Faster for prolonged periods. And I guess the thing is, you know, if they're really still in a lot of pain, really miserable after they've had a dose of paracetamol or ibuprofen, that's another sign that, look, maybe that's not doing its job and maybe it's a little bit more than that and they need to be assessed. Both paracetamol and ibuprofen are safe medications to use to treat for pain and discomfort and distress, but we don't need to be treating the fever itself. If your child has a fever, but they're running around, they've got energy, they're drinking, they're happy, they're engaging, then we don't need to give them a dose of that at that point. And if they come right after their first dose, then we don't need to give more doses. So just, you know, if you're ever unsure, call us at Plunkett Line. 0800 933 922 is registered Plunkett nurse on the end of that phone 24/7, and they can give you as much advice you need, and they can do an assessment over the phone as well. But also another really key point that we've made, breastfeeding is safe while you're COVID-19 positive, and it's actually good for baby and protects them further. So just keep that up. If it means that you need to wear a mask, wash your hands regularly, keep distance from baby when you're not feeding, then that's awesome. But it's still worth doing. And yeah, look after yourselves. That's the other main point from this tonight. So look, just want to put it out there to the whānau at this time. It's been a rough couple of months, but we're getting through it. And as a community and as a nation, we do seem to be really doing awesome at supporting each other. Remember, the health services that are available here to us in Aotearoa are still available. The systems are still working. If you need a GP, if you need emergency department, they are still there. Sometimes it may look a bit different, like with Plunkett. We may be doing virtual checks. There has been a bit of rescheduling and stuff like that recently. And I just want to put it out there as well, a massive thank you to the whānau out there who engage with us and have been so flexible and patient during this time as well, as the health system and as in general has been quite stretched. But like I said, we're getting through. Look, thank you so much, Stuart Dalziel. It was wonderful talking to you.
No, that's absolutely fine. I enjoyed it, Max. It was great.
Cool. All right. Well, look, take care, everybody. Ka kite, and take care and look after yourselves. And remember to get in touch if you need anything with Plunkett Line.
Ka kite.